Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. We are both here for this intro.
Yay.
And my co-host,
finally
and
back
colleague
together,
and friend in life. Hi, Dar.
Hi, Jess.
What's up?
So happy to be here.
So glad
you're
here.
Even though I have a cold or allergies or whatever it is, I'm still very happy to be here. I apologize.
You're suffering, but you're suffering for our art here right at Soul Sisters. We have a really fun and kind of different guest on the show today, Dreezy. I think she's our first official rapper. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe
most straight ahead, just like straight up rapper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have any of our previous guests rapped?
I think Kendra raps a little bit.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, but she's a straight up legit rapper, and she's amazing. She's known as being one of the best in the game, especially in Chicago, and especially among women rappers. I hesitate to make that distinction, but I don't know. It's also,
we talk about that.
Yeah, we talked about it with her, which is cool. She kind of went there, and then she kind of also wanted to be like, you know, a rapper is a rapper, right?
And the competition is part of the game. So it's kind of like, you know, there's not going to be more solidarity there necessarily.
Right. Which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So it was a good conversation. She's 22 years old. So
it does not seem 22.
No, it's always interesting to have a super young guest school us on life and give us perspective,
confidence, and wisdom.
Yeah,
abounding. Yeah,
yeah. Like, where would I be in my life now if I had been like that at 22?
Oh gosh,
I don't know.
Or at like 12?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want any more for my life than being right here with you all now. But it's just interesting to think about.
Perfect.
Yeah. So Dreezy has a new album out called No Hard Feelings. It's amazing. It's a really, really good album. And so you guys should check it out and listen to our convo with her, which was
awesome.
Awesome. Okay, here she is, Dreezy on Soul Sisters. All right.
Okay.
Welcome to Soul Sisters.
Hey.
We got our headphones working. Mics are hot. Feeling
coffee.
Good. Great. Coffee, seltzer, water. What more do you need in life?
This is all I need.
Yeah. All right. We got Dreezy on the show today.
What's up?
This is an honor. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So we were just talking before we started rolling about how you live in LA now.
Mm-hmm.
And you were saying how it's all about finding your people and your places
things. Yeah, you gotta find the little hobbies and places you like to go. Like, I know I like Fairfax, Melrose, hit up the shopping places. You know, I like the weather. I know what friends got the pools and, you know.
Yeah, so. Friends with pools. When I moved to LA, that was the first thing that blew me away.
Yeah.
That so many people have pools.
Yeah.
It was just a normal thing.
Even
you didn't
regular,
have to be somebody.
What are we doing here?
I know.
Even the regular apartments. Like, you can get you a nice regular apartment. They all got pools in them. So.
Yeah, it's all like
show pool?
Melrose Place.
No, I don't. I live in a quad, but I'm about to move. I'm thinking if I'm going to move to, like, the Valley with the pools or just get, like, an apartment building with a pool in
it.
But I do want a pool, though.
It's nice to have your own pool. I lived in an apartment that was, like, a square. So when you were swimming in the pool, it was in the middle, and everyone would look out onto the pool from their apartment. So I always felt weird swimming.
Well,
so I just wondered who was watching.
Yeah, they could look at me all they want to. Now, when the pools get overcrowded, then that's when I'm like,
I hate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it don't always, it's never really a whole bunch of people in the pool. Maybe on holidays and stuff.
Like, no, they're like tanning next to the pool.
Yeah.
But they're not getting in the pool.
Yeah.
That's the other weird thing about LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where do you live? West Hollywood?
Yep.
Around there? Yeah.
Are you in like a scene? Like, do you have a crew?
Oh, there. my people.
What's your scene there?
I mean, my people in Chicago, they fly out with me. You know what I'm saying? But in LA, you know, it's a lot of associates.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't say I met no real friends.
Right.
In LA, it's too soon to tell. And yeah. I'm really not even in LA as much now.
It's just your home base.
I've been on the road so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did people move with you from Chicago?
Nah.
They just come visit.
Well, really, at first my producer did. Uh-huh. But, you know, just after time just went bad, we just kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Was it kind of like a necessity by, you know, at a certain point you're like, all right, I have to be in L.A.? Were you excited?
The guy who I had did some paperwork with that was basically trying to shop me around to the labels and stuff, he was just really, like, urging me to move to L.A., like, around with my buzz when I dropped my Chirac and stuff, and it mm-hmm. was going crazy. He just like, no, like, if you move to LA right now, I know I could get you a deal. Like, I know I could do it faster. So it was kind of a decision we both made.
Why is it that way? Is it because you're out there so you can actually meet people and they can put a face to the name?
You and their face. Yeah. You know, once they know that you out there, they're going to put you in the studios now. They're going to introduce you to people. Mm-hmm. You know, I just start going to my sessions and making good songs and just trying to knock out his many good songs I could, and they like, okay, we're gonna book another session, you know. Okay, like, let's do this, let's see how you perform, let's book it for a show. Like, it builds up, you know. And then eventually, like, when we sealed the deal, it was just, you know, we already had a little relationship. Mm-hmm. I was already a little familiar with LA. I just had to get my own official crib, because at first they had me in like temporary housing.
Were you like with a bunch of aspiring actors and stuff like that scene?
I wasn't, but the
there's a lot of buildings like that where
that is what it
is.
It's like a lot of people, like, they somebody your neighbor might play an instrument or like somebody act.
That's what I imagine it being like
dorms.
Just like,
well, I mean, there's droves of people every day moving to LA to get the dream.
The Uber drivers, they act, they rap, they do something, and they gonna ask you what you do. Yeah, they could get involved. Like,
totally, it's so true.
It really is an industry city. I mean,
yeah,
yeah.
But that's what I sort of meant when I said, like, do you have a crew of people? But are there also just people around that are sort of inspiring? And I'm sure. Chirac, how did that happen? Did you know that when you made that song, that track, that was gonna sort of explode and open doors?
I probably wasn't thinking about what it really did, like thinking that it would have did all that, but I knew it was a good song. I knew I had did my thing on it, and that's why I was like, you know, like, I did it as soon as it dropped. As soon as the song dropped at like 12 o'clock at night, I went to the studio and I went and wrote my verse in my room, and then I woke up the next morning like, yeah.
The second that Nicki Minaj dropped it.
Yeah, she dropped it at 12 o'clock at night. I woke up, and it was probably out by like 1 the next day or 12 the next day.
You mean your cover?
Cover?
Yeah.
Whoa.
You knew, but did you get inspired just like right away, or did you know that it was coming somehow?
No, I didn't. Okay. Nobody knew it was coming. They dropped it at 12 at night, literally. Okay. It was random, and the city was going crazy just because, you know, Lil Herb, he from Chicago, so... For him to get a Nicki Minaj verse and then a song called Chirac, like, the city was just, you know, going crazy. And as soon as I turned it on, like, I was even shocked. Like, wow, Nicki Minaj just did a song with G Herbo from Chicago. I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I just really felt like I needed to remix it. Like, it just seemed like I needed to be on it.
And by the next day, you already had it all set.
The next morning, I went and recorded and I dropped it. And, you know, I think that's what made it get an even more of a buzz too, because it's like, what the fuck, this shit just dropped last night.
Yeah, you were obviously the first.
How soon did your version come out?
No,
the next day it came out the next morning.
Yeah.
How'd you put it out?
I think I put it on SoundCloud. Yeah, I put SoundCloud? It on SoundCloud, and like that week or something, it got like a 500,000 views or something. And I was like, I gotta shoot the video ASAP. And I just brought the whole city of Chicago. Like, I put out a little time schedule where I was going to be at what time. And the city just came and met me out at each spot of the city. And we just turned up.
All right. Hang on. So this was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, 2 years.
So you were like around 20 years old?
Mm-hmm.
So what had you done so far in your career that you were at that point where you could get 500,000 listens on that SoundCloud track?
Really, that's what I'm saying, that song kind of did it for me, but, you know, I did have a little buzz in my city, just because I had did a song with Lil Durk, did a song with King Louis, Lil Herb, you know, like I was just working with the people in my city. Sasha Go Hard, Katie Got Bands. I was literally working with everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, I put out my first mixtape and then right after that, the Chirac and then.
How did it start that you were collaborating with all of these other Chicago artists? Like, what was the first moment of like opening that door? So you were like, you're a kid, you're writing, you're rapping, singing, acting. Was it all of the things? Or?
I started off writing. I was doing poetry and songs and stuff like that, like little stories and just my journal. Then eventually, you know, I grew up on the south side of Chicago, so I went to a school right around the corner, and there was this music teacher named Miss Ellis, and she kind of like just put me into the whole just expanding my music type. Like, I knew I wanted to sing. I knew I was writing and stuff. And she kind of just put me on. Like, have you heard of, like, she was a jazz teacher. So she was just like, you heard of Ella Fitzgerald and A-Train and stuff like this? I'm like, nah. Like, she like, you should learn this song. Go home, learn this song, come back. You know, so it was just stuff like that. Then she took me to the House of Blues in Chicago. I just started performing. I was singing. And after a while, when I got older, you know, I moved from that school. I went to another school, away from the city, and I kind of lost touch with her. I kind of stopped singing, and you know, when I got in high school, just being heavy on the Wayne, Lil Wayne, I just start rapping, you know. And when I got signed, I just combined everything: my writing, my rapping, and my singing. Like,
yeah,
I just went back to that.
I have a lot of questions about what you just said. First of all, I read this about you and Ella Fitzgerald and that you learned how to scat, right? Mm-hmm. And I never put that together, scatting and rapping, in my head, mm-hmm. but it makes sense. Do you feel like one led you to, I mean, obviously you were listening to rap and influenced and interested in it, but do you think scatting helped you rap?
Nah.
No.
Because scatting is so different. Like, scatting is like,
but it loosens your tongue up.
Yeah, it's
like, not right? A bad exercise, I'm sure.
It ain't bad. Yeah. You know, I wasn't making up scats. Like, I wasn't like a scatter.
Okay.
You know, if I was singing, like the A-Train song, it's like, like, I know, I remember, like, just from hearing her say it, I was just copying off her saying it. You know, like, I didn't ever know what it meant. I didn't ever know, like, how to make it. You know,
you can't scat on your own.
Like, I bet not you could. Like, make up some scat. I don't know. I don't even know. Like,
I wish I had a jazz track to play for you right now.
Scatting, I feel like, is almost more comparable to like freestyling because you sort of put yourself out there. You have no idea where you're gonna go. You just have to come out with something.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
This is
now that I think about it, because like now, like when I go in the studio, like how I write now, I used to just write words, you know, just strictly writing. Now when I go in the studio, because I just was thinking about it, like the fact that it's so many hits that I grew up off of and never knew the words until now. So
you
I
mean
think,
raps like rap
no singing Sing, like uh-huh. I mean songs period
any it's songs
just,
yeah
yeah like or yeah mostly singing though, because it's like, you know, you just know the melody, you know, you can hum it, but
sure.
I never really understood what the words meant until I got old enough to understand. So that kind of made me feel like maybe melody is the most important part of the song, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you could get a melody in somebody, it don't matter what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? When you pick the right words to it, that just make it even better. You know what I'm saying? So so now when I go into studios, I don't even, like, write first. A lot, sometimes I do, like, if I'm doing, like, rappy stuff.
Yeah.
I want to write it and make sure, you know what I'm saying? But if I'm just going in, I vibe out and just do melody. So it is kind of like scatting. Like, if I add some rapping, like, close to you. Did y'all hear that song with T-Pain?
Yes, I love that song.
Yeah, that's a song I went in and just melodies, like, and I was like, I'm just like, fresh. And then when I was start rapping, I'm like, I was then I came back and put the words to it, but it was just, you know, so it's
you heard of melody and kind of like cadence and rhythm and things, and
so
then
so it's kind of like scatting.
Yeah,
you just got to put the words to it at the end.
Do you write a lot in the studio as opposed to like at home or anywhere else?
Yeah, but I don't like doing that. Yeah, they usually do it like that. You know, I don't like doing that.
So is that a shift from like when you were first starting out?
Yeah. Because I used to write at home and then I'd go to the studio and lay it down. Or like the producer that I had, his name D. Brooks, when we was working on my Schizo project, a lot of those songs was just poems. Like it didn't have no beat, no sound. I was just at home writing and I just caught a rhythm and kept writing to that rhythm. And I'd bring it to my producer and he'll be like, I know what drums to put on that. Like, he'll start putting the sounds, and I'll listen to it while he's doing it, and we'll make the perfect fit for the sound, you know?
And would you say you do prefer that process?
It depends, though, because that, you know, like, if the words come to my head, like, a lot of times, like, when I first wake up, that's when words start coming to my head. And if I don't write it down, I forget it. And that's what I used to do a lot, just write, and then I go to the studio. But sometimes when I go in the studio, like, sometimes you'll hear a beat, like the Chirac, I hear, and the words just start coming to me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so it just depends off the vibe you get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I read a lot of, like, allusions about you to your childhood. I was wondering if you wouldn't mind explaining what was going on at home. Like, I think on Wikipedia it says you studied arts as a distraction from what was going on at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered what that was exactly.
Just growing up, you know, just being with my mama, she was like a single parent, you know, mm-hmm. just, I feel like just her life kind of really rubbed off on me, just kind of influenced, like, with her relationships, it kind of like led me into what type of relationships I get myself into now, like the stuff she was moving. Like, I was just, you know, when you grow up with your mama, you take after everything that she's doing, you know what I'm saying? But my problem was, you know, my mama lost her mama at an early age,
yeah.
and she lost her daddy too. She don't really know who he is. He moved off, you know what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. he ain't really come around. So my mama was literally like growing up, living her life, teaching herself. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. if she made a mistake, I'm watching, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm gonna do the same thing. So
do you have siblings?
Yeah. I got a little sister, so she don't know no better. Mm-hmm. Like, she just a baby. So I kind of had to just boss up in that situation.
Did you feel like the adult in your household?
Yeah. yeah. It's still like that now. Like, yeah. it's crazy. You wouldn't even understand. Like, luckily, with this new generation, like, kids is learning at a very fast pace. Like, kids is way smarter than, you know what I'm saying? So,
maybe too smart.
Yeah, sometimes too smart, you know? But, yeah, that's why I look at it like, you know, a lot of the stuff that, even relationships, is way different than, like, my mama don't understand. Like, she real, like, friendly and, like, real. She don't understand what's going on in the world right now. And, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? That can mess you up. Like, with relationships, you think people care about you and they don't. Like, and I'm the type that peep it from a mile away. Like, I don't even like people. Mm-hmm. I'm not social like that. My mama is.
Yeah.
So with this fame and stuff coming in and stuff like that, you know, we bump heads because she think everybody around us want to be... And I know, like, people is coming around for the wrong reason.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's just, you know.
Well, that's good that you know that for yourself.
Yeah.
If you didn't have someone around telling you that.
Yeah.
That could have been a tough lesson to learn.
I really had to, and that's when my daddy came in, because, you know, we got to a point where we was just bumping. I just didn't like the way her life was going. And, you know, when you care about somebody and you can't change the situation, you got to remove yourself. So I had to move in with my daddy, and he kind of, like, flip me around.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He was in Chicago still?
Yeah.
Okay.
We live in the burbs.
Are either of them into music or musicians?
Nah.
No. How did they feel when you started getting heavy into it?
My mama was like, my mama ain't really like it like that. She was just, it ain't that she didn't like it. She was
worried about you?
She just was like I said, I was the type to move around. I don't stay in situations where I don't want to be in, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I was living with her. No, I had moved back with her after I moved out with my daddy. And I realized, like, this still ain't going to work. So, mm-hmm. like, I had to, you know, she like, hey, if you're going to be here, you got to get a job and this. And then I dropped out of college because I knew I wanted to rap. So she was just over me. She like, you went from getting all A's and B's to dropping out of college to wanting to rap. Like,
but by the time you're in college, you're already starting to see some success in music, right?
Nah. When I was in college, because I didn't put out my... I put out my very first mixtape probably the end of my seventh grade year.
Seventh grade. Wow.
Yeah. So people didn't really get to, like, take me serious rapping until eighth grade year. And we was finna graduate. So when I graduated and went to college, that's when I was just in there like, man, I think I want to take this all away. Like, I had a good start. Like, everybody was rocking with it. But I couldn't do it in college because I just didn't have no time. Like, with studying and all that. And, like, not having no money to put into it. Like, I just had to get out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the leap from sort of doing it on your own to, like, from, like, in your bedroom, I imagine, you know, doing GarageBand?
Mm-hmm.
Was it, where did you use GarageBand?
I used to record on a webcam mic, just regular voice recorder. It wasn't even Garage.
And what beats would you use?
Yeah, I didn't even have a Mac yet.
What beats would you use?
I was doing remixes at first. Like, very first beat I ever rapped on was Pussy Money Weed by Wayne.
So then what takes it from your own self, your own project, to having people with you and helping you?
And back in high school, like I said, my first song was Pussy Money Weed. Then, you know, when I start, like, and I was playing around with that too. Like, I wasn't even taking it serious. I was just rapping, me and my cousin. And so then when I start going to school and I'm like letting the guys know, you know, you start finding out who rap in school. It ain't really a whole lot of rappers in school at that time. You know, people ain't really think about that. Mm-hmm. So it was one guy named Cuddy. And he was the only really rapper at the school. And I'm just like, yeah, I want to rap. You know, I just started going to the studio with him. It was a guy in my class named Will. He was playing around with the beats and stuff. And I'm just like, you know, maybe I could try to rap on your beat. And that was like the first real beat that I rapped on. And it was called Feeling You or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so we were just trying stuff. We didn't know what we was doing, you know. And like you said, like what you were saying earlier, how I start reaching out to other rappers is just when I start, you know, getting my own love. You know, I put out my first video. It got like 50,000 views in the first, like when I first put it out. I'm like, okay.
What song was that?
It's called Illest Bitch Alive. It's bogus.
No?
Yeah, you don't want to see it.
Is it still up there?
Yeah, it's up there, but it's terrible. Like my hair, my leave out, everything.
How'd you get, what was the video? Like how did it blow up like that?
I mean, 50,000 ain't a lot.
No,
it grew to 50,000. Like, it started off small. And I had to build it up. But once I got 50,000, I'm just thinking, like,
okay.
Yeah, like, I'm finna do something else. You know, the next video got 100,000. Then that's when I started, like, all right, I'm finna reach out to little rappers around my city. I was reaching out to King Louie. I was like, man, I wanna pay you for a feature. He, like, $1,500 or something at the time. And I was like, I only got $300. And maybe 200, you know, like just rock with me. But
what would you do? Like send them tracks, send them your videos, and
I was one of them people like that be in my something? DMs now.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
just like, can you listen to my songs?
Do people do that all the time?
Yeah, and it don't work. It didn't work for me.
I was gonna say, do you try to pay that back then?
No, I ain't never. I never paid for a feature. Just to let you know.
No, but I just mean in terms of like. People like, who are hitting you up now, like you were hitting other people up then.
Oh, yeah.
Do you try to help people out when you can?
Nah, because that's not the way to go about it.
Yeah.
It's not the way.
Like, would you be discouraging them? I mean, it's a good effort, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a good effort, but you got to learn the same way I learned. Yeah.
What? So what did...
When I was sliding in Louis DMs, he wasn't having it. Like,
so what did work?
Yeah.
I ended up running into him in the studio. You know, like a lot of the stuff that happened for me, I feel like was God's plan. Like I was really in these situations where I ended up being in the room with these guys, and I know how to hold my own weight. You know, it's like you're gonna get an opportunity if it's meant for you, and if you're talented enough, you're gonna shine through. You know what
I'm saying? You made that opportunity happen, though.
Yeah, like I was just going to the studio. I knew where people was going. And
did you have? Were you working at the studio with someone already, or were you just like kind of showing up?
Nah. And then you know, like I found my guy. Who was making, knew how to build the beats around me and stuff like that. And, you know, he was making producers for a couple artists out in the city and stuff. You know, artists always want beats, whether they do features with you or not. They'll do beats. They'll get on anybody beat.
Mm-hmm.
So he was giving beats out. And I'm just like, man, let them know about my music. I just got my name popping. I really started working with female rappers. The first one I did was Sasha Go Hard. You know, that was the first female rapper I did something with. Then I did something.
How'd you connect with her?
I kind of reached out to her. And I think we might have bumped heads at first when I first reached out because she probably wasn't rocking with
me.
How'd
you
like
reach
that.
Out?
I don't remember.
Uh-huh.
But I know we ended up, she was going with this boy out west. And I ended up talking to his best friend. And we ended up getting cool. So it's like the beef ended up squashing. We got in the studio.
That's funny.
We made a banger. And that kind of went crazy too. And then I did something with Katie Got Bands. I just, you know, I started meeting people like.
Yeah. Do you feel any solidarity with other women in rap? Automatically for being women?
Automatically? No.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's, and the guys is crazy too, you know. So when I come up on people, I just take people for their vibe, like in real life.
Yeah.
Like, I just see how people talk in real life and how they treat me in real life.
Right.
You know? And I also pay attention to how people reactions change when they first meet me and don't know who I am, and then meet me again and see the progress, you know, because I always meet people once and meet them again down the line, and I'm always going to get better as time go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and people personality definitely change. Like they'll blow, brush you off once, and then next time they see you, they, oh, you the girl that made, you know what I'm saying? But I stay humble in every situation because I learned, I know, I've seen situations where it's been people where I really didn't want to get in tune with and they done caught up on me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to be humble, whatever. You never know
right.
what people got going.
But I think it's true in any genre of music that, you know, women have particularly hard times in different ways. But I feel like the perception is that it's particularly hard in hip hop because there's a perception of all this misogyny that's in the music itself. Mm-hmm. And therefore that the artists in that genre have to make a special effort in their lyrics to sound like strong, independent women. Mm-hmm. And maybe behind the scenes, you also have to give that impression. Have you felt that at all?
I mean, I want to be a strong woman for myself. You know what I'm saying? Not even for the label. I mean, of course, for my fans, but really at the end of the day, for myself. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, I'm out here by myself. I feel like even though I'm not an independent artist, but I'm my own boss. You know, I ain't got no co-sign. I'm still a female in the industry. I'm still young. Mm-hmm. I don't know about paperwork mm-hmm. and stuff. I just know how to make a song, you know? Yeah. So you got to boss up and be that, you know, that all-around girl, you know? Mm-hmm. To get the business taken care of.
Yeah. It's interesting, too, because we've talked before about a sort of lack of perceived competition within other genres like rock and pop and stuff. And I feel like in hip-hop, there's almost an inherent, a little bit of like an elbowing, like, this is my space, this is my space. I'm going to ask you to come on my track. You can come on, but that's it. You know, like, I a little bit of a territorial.
But that's are obsessed with a beef between women.
Right.
You know?
And so it's almost like, I wonder if that's even more, if it's easier to sort of have a camaraderie with the guys because there's not that direct competition.
But to a certain extent, I feel like that's what hip hop is. Like, it's supposed to be competitive. Like, you got to come with your bars and stuff because now everybody want to be buddy-buddy and ain't nobody putting out no good music. Everybody putting out bubblegum raps, you know? It take for a rapper to diss you for you to bring your bars on the track for now. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though it shouldn't have to be like that, but I do think it should always, you know, it should always be a fair sport. You know, this is a sport to me. I didn't get in here to just be buddy-buddy with everybody. Yeah. We competing for the number one spot.
Right.
We want to be the greatest at what you do. And that's where everything, like I say, if I'm working at McDonald's, I'm trying to be the best burger flipping.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get promoted, like, you know. So
it
should be, but it don't got to get personal, you know. When it get personal, that's when it's like, all right, it ain't about the lyrics no more.
Right. Now Have you had any of that?
Come
on.
Yeah, but
you said you'd talk about anything.
No, we could talk about anything, but what I won't do is give somebody shine that don't deserve it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I done got into I done did beefs with people that came at me. I don't start beefs.
Yeah.
I don't even got time for that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you know, at the end of the day, I handle my business and that's why I say I always stay humble because I know. Like, it be situations like that where people get cocky and they feel like they could diss you. And then, you got to be able to hold your ground after you talk all that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's tricky because, like, you don't want to fuel the fire, right? But then when people make it public.
Then it's good publicity in a way.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
I ain't even for the publicity stunts either.
No.
I just keep it 100. Yeah. So anything y'all see happening with me is just real.
Yeah.
What about the fun battles, like the real battles, not the beef, like, you know, just battling for fun? Have you done that?
Oh, like rap battles?
Yeah, rap battles.
I do a little bit, like, in the studio, like, just with myself. I never, like, freestyle battled, like, nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm probably...
Like some 8 Mile.
I don't think I'm that into that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I would love to be into that.
That's
just because
like,
I rap.
Just, like, being on a tightrope.
But that's some terrifying. Whole other thinking. Like,
no, that's yeah, when people that's do that skill. And they're just looking around the room and they can pull everything oh in. God. That's yes. magic to me. It I don't is know magic. How to yeah. do that.
That's, yeah. It's
that's a whole other whole, skill.
Yeah. And then just with me, you know, I feel like I just started off writing. Like, I always write it. So I can't force myself to be.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't what come out the womb just rapping lyrics. Like, nah, I hear melodies in my head. I hear lyrics in my head. And I just try to make a good song out of it.
Yeah. You're a real composer that way. Yeah. On the gender note, I just want to say one more thing, which is I think you do this really cool thing in some of your songs where you're almost your voice is gender neutral in terms of like mm-hmm. you're talking to men, you're talking to women. Sometimes I feel like the pronouns mm-hmm. bounce around mm-hmm. in like a really awesome way that I feel like just opens it up completely. It's like you could be talking to me, you, any of us.
Yeah, I do try to, like when I hear my songs, that's when it's most come easiest to me, is like when I'm just talk, feel like I'm having a conversation with somebody, like I don't even know. I ain't listened to Schizo in a while because I've been playing all my new music, but I just know with Schizo just how I came off on some verses. I really was coming off as if I'm talking to a guy across the table. Mm-hmm. Like, because Schizo was like an emotional, like, you know what I'm saying? I was just trying to get through to a guy, but not without talking to him. You know, I had to get through to him through my music. So it was just like I was talking to him. And I'm yeah. like, you know, why you can't keep it real? Like, why? Like, yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Is it an actual guy?
Who, now?
Then.
That you were yeah. writing about?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I say everything with me real.
Everything real, yeah.
Yeah.
And music is how I express myself. So, like, this is how I literally get my stuff off my chest. It's just what I'm come from the heart.
Yeah. But, like, close to you, I feel like the verses that you have and that T-Pain has, like, either of you could have sung either one of those. It's kind of a really cool back and forth.
Yeah, T-Pain.
Like, two sides of the same coin kind of thing.
Yeah, T-Pain yeah. definitely killed his verse. I wasn't expecting that when they sent it back.
Yeah, so how did these crazy collaborations happen on the new album?
Some
him
of them.
Gucci Mane. Mm-hmm. Who's the third?
Gucci, T-Pain, Wale.
Yeah.
And Jeremiah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, some of them, you know, Gucci, I was just able to know the right people and get him the track over sent to him, you know what I'm saying? And luckily he just loved a song and he hopped on it and did that for me. And with Wale, we met in the studio and he was just, you know, playing his music and uh-huh. I was telling him about me playing my music and we was just cooling. Then next thing you know, my label sent over the song. He sent us a verse back. T-Pain, I don't know. I ain't had no idea they was gonna send it to him. But he killed the track, and I'm glad he was on it. It wouldn't have been nobody else perfect for that track. And Jeremiah, he from Chicago. Just me, you know, just me meeting people. I try to make organic relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and when I was done, like, with the song, and I just listened to it, I'm like, I need Jeremiah on this song. So, you know, just that's bro. We hit him up. He came through.
Yeah. And there are how many tracks on that? 19?
Yeah, it's 19, but, you know, it's all
it's
the skits.
Crazy.
Interludes.
Yeah. So it's really like 13.
Okay.
Where'd those come from?
Skits?
Yeah.
Really, my label wanted me to do the skits because I thought it was going to be a little corny, but it came out good.
Yeah.
You know, so we just had fun. They was just like, why don't you just try it? Just try it. So I just I was just looking at the songs because we didn't even have a title for it. Like, you know, we had to kind of rush the packaging of the album and put it out in time so we could, you know, do what we did. But, you know, I was just listening to it and I'm like, these songs kind of go in order. Like, I feel like it could tell a story. And that's uh-huh. when I set them in order. And then I'm like, look, I'm just like, look, she start off with the guy. She ended up getting into it and get with the new guy. And all the songs go, you know, so then we just built the skits off that. Like, oh, well, we got to have some real life stuff going on.
Yeah,
like,
that's what reminded me of the Brat, the album.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
what's happening. I
used to love that. Like, Salt-N-Pepa used to do that.
Yeah,
I remember they had, like, Kin Play on one of their albums and they'd have little things. How come no other genre does that?
They do now a little
bit.
But not as well.
Like rock acts.
I've heard
skits?
Some just not so much skits. Not like I love that it's like a thread telling a story. You're
yeah.
looking at the album, you say, okay, this is actually a progression. Things are happening.
Right.
And yeah. I don't hear that.
And
no.
I like it because it's like, you know. And then when you feel a certain type of mood, you know which side
place,
of the,
yeah,
you know, and it's
album.
Gonna vibe out for a little bit right. in yep. that mood. So yeah.
Yeah. So you've had such a meteoric, crazy couple of years. Can you think back on a moment where you were like, oh, I think this is going to work out. I can do this. Or is it a blur?
I'm trying to think, because, oh, yeah. Well, when I first put out my mixtape, that's really when I took it serious.
Yeah.
I was rapping. I've been rapping since, like, my freshman year, and I put my mixtape out, my very, very first mixtape, junior year.
Okay.
So I was already rapping for, like, 2-3 years. Junior year, I was just like, I think I want to take this serious. And then, you know, everybody bring up the incident. Everybody know about the little shoplifting incident. I don't know if y'all know about it.
Tell us for those
I know
who
the blogs
know.
Is getting up on it, but whatever. It was just a little incident.
Own the story.
Yeah, own it. That's cool.
No, it's cool. It was just whatever. I was a kid. Shoplifting sticky fingers. Everybody do it.
What'd you take?
Some clothes for a boy and myself. Trying. Well, I didn't even take nothing because I didn't get away with it. But yeah, so.
Did that end up a lyric ever? Any of that?
No.
No.
Not yet.
And I would have got away with it if it wasn't for that pesky man. No, just but it was like, it was just, you know, I was going through that and my daddy put me on punishment. Like right after that, I was on punishment for 3 months.
How old were you?
Junior year.
Oh, junior year of high school? Okay.
What, like, I don't know, 17?
So what kind of trouble did you get in legally? Slap on the wrist?
They fake put me in this holding thing.
Yeah, scared
in
you
the cuffs
bit.
Or whatever. I mean, I wasn't scared.
That's what they tried to do.
Anyway. I wasn't scared. I didn't think I was going to go to jail. I was just like, I was more thinking because I had a party like the next day or like next 2 days. So that's what the clothes was for. And I'm just like, knowing my daddy, I'm not even finna be able to go to the party. So I was just, like, my whole time in there, I was just thinking, like, I gotta call my mama. Like, I'm not calling my daddy. And my mama ended up tricking on me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, she ended up telling my daddy. Oh, and I'm like, you both, like, we would have had it. Like, we was so close. And no, matter of fact,
let me go to this party.
No, you know what? I don't even think, my mama didn't even tell. My mama
really?
Didn't tell
How'd
on me.
How'd he find out?
I got back home. He sat me down in the chair, the interrogation chair. He told me, tell him, my daddy, like a real nigga. Like, uh-huh. I don't know if I. Well, I
That's
know.
Okay.
My daddy just 100. So, my daddy, the type, like, if you lie to me, you gonna get in trouble.
Yeah.
If you tell the truth, you might not get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Something
Lying
gonna happen.
Is the worst. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I lied that day because I just couldn't take no chances because I'm like, even if he find out, just let him find out after the party.
Right.
Like,
I just got to get to that party.
Yeah, so I'm just like, yeah.
So you lied about where you were or something?
No, I told him, I'm like, I was in the store. I'm like, daddy, now you know I'm not no thief. I went in the store. I saw it. They only had one shirt left. I left my wallet in the car. I had to put my shirt in the bag because it was so many people trying to get grabbed. I didn't want nobody to take the shirt. I was coming right back. That's what I told him. And he like, oh, no. This don't
he was
sound
not having
right.
It. Yeah.
He like, I'm going to just put you on punishment for a couple days till I figure it out. And I'm like, no.
So, no party.
So, no,
oh,
but
man, you took
I went
a rest.
Up, right. So I went upstairs. I went to sleep. And then I guess when I woke up, he had took my phone.
Oh.
And he saw that I was like texting the boy who I did it. I'm like, dang, they called me like my daddy think I'm this.
Shit.
And he just went crazy.
That was
like,
it.
He lost it. It was over with. But anyway, I said that because I went on on punishment for 3 whole months. No phone, no computer, no going out.
Whoa.
no nothing. Like, and that I had a CD of beats, and I wrote to the like whole CD.
That's when you made the whole mixtape?
Yeah,
just like a random CD or what?
It was a random CD. It just had a whole bunch of beats on it that I was already listening to.
Okay.
I had burned a CD.
Whoa! And so do you now like think of that?
Now you thank your father.
Yeah, like thank the whole story.
Yeah, when I got out of punishment, I put out my mixtape.
Wow.
Like it was ready, and I was just like, "Yeah,
okay.
I'm gonna do it serious."
That's a testament to all that we could get done if we put our fucking phones away for 2 seconds.
True,
definitely.
Yeah. That's what I take away from that story. If I had no computer for 3 months,
you don't need to. You don't need to go shopping.
I don't have to shoplift.
Right, you can just. To turn off your phone.
I just need a stern father.
You'll come out with a whole new invention, game plan.
Yeah.
You're going to be like, look.
Yeah.
Stara, I got a new, we finna do this.
Yeah, exactly.
I got it wrote up.
So then you come out with the mixtape. Do you perform it live?
What?
Around town? The first one, when you came out with it,
did you start performing?
Do you have shows?
I doubt it. That was just, it was my first mixtape, so it was really people first time hearing my project. Like, they didn't know what.
How'd you put it out? SoundCloud, Bandcamp stuff?
I had found a DJ. He was working. His name was DJ Hustlenomics. He was working with Chief Keef at the crib. And I was just asking. He kept flirting with me, you know. So I'm like, is you trying to host this tape or what? And, you know, he hosted the tape, and we put it on my mixtapes.
Yeah.
That Piff. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. It's a music site.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then what happened after that?
We put it out. Like, I don't know. I started shooting videos to it, and then, you know, we got a little buzz going. So
how are you paying for that at that point?
My auntie worked at like Kinko's and stuff. That's the same. She had did my party flyers for me too.
Yeah.
We never got them out. And then she did my mixtape covers for me. I went and bought just a whole bunch of plastic slips. You know, that probably wasn't too much. You know, I worked at Subway.
Yeah.
So I had a little job.
And you just did like burned your own CDs and
burned
gave
my
them out
own
and
CDs, passed them out through the school. Then, you know, the principal calling me over the intercom because she got a hold of the CD and is cursing all on it. So, you know, everybody like, dang, Dreezy mixtape. Everybody get Dreezy mixtape. The teachers found out about it. They like, we listen to your mixtape. Like, then the kids started rolling up to school in their cars, bumping it. Wow. Like, you know, just your friends, my friends supporting me. Like, you see the Illest Bitch Alive, it had, like, me and, like, 20 people. We had a gang, like, not a gang, but, like, my crew, like, of girls. We was 12 deep. Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We threw the parties. We was there. We was the racks. Like, so we had a little, we was already cool. We just had to get it out to our friends. And,
And was Schizo independently released?
Yeah.
How'd you do that?
Same thing.
Yeah.
That was with my producer, though. That was when I started taking music a little more serious.
Okay.
So, Schizo, you'll hear a lot more pianos and drums and like real, it sound real music.
Is it common on that one? Or
he is on the bonus.
So that
track
was a big feature.
Yeah.
How'd that happen? Through your producer?
The Chirac. No.
Okay, that was after.
He found out.
Well,
no.
You did something with Common.
So he wasn't on Schizo. Oh,
okay.
No, what we did was we re-released Schizo again with bonus tracks. So then we had like the remix, and then we put Chirac on there, I think, too. And then we had the Common song on
there. Okay. And then you were on his album.
Yeah, we remastered. It's a remastered version of Schizo on iTunes. And then, and I did a song. Well, I did a song on his album first. And then he just returned the favor and did the song for me.
Were you like, was that like your biggest encounter with a big star by then?
Yeah, that was probably my first. Yeah.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, you know, that was my first. Trey Songz, I was cool with Trey Songz. I had met Wayne, but like we ain't do nothing. But I had met Trey Songz' manager and stuff. So really, like I was already kind of meeting people. So by the time Chirac dropped, like for real, we just took it in. You know what I'm saying? Like all the celebrities just was like hitting me up.
Yeah.
Chirac, who is this girl?
Right. Who is like the king or queen of that Chicago scene now? Who's revered the most? I mean, it was probably Common at some point. I feel like right now it's
right
Chance,
now, right now.
Right?
Yeah, Chance is definitely.
Maybe it was like Kanye in between those two.
I mean, for me, Top Mills, Chance, Dirk, Herb. That's who's making the most noise in the city right now.
Yeah.
Queen, I'm going to just say myself.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. Who's your dream collaborator now? Who's like number one on your wish list? Yeah.
Wayne and J. Cole.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm waiting on it. I know it's going to happen.
Yeah. So you're working on new stuff now as you're promoting the new album?
Yeah, we are already working on a new project. I was just in the studio all last week. Shout out 808 Mafia. We working with them. And,
nice.
You know, I'm meeting so many new people that's saying that they want to do songs with me. So I feel like a lot of collabs will be coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
I did a song with YF and Lucci. Y'all should check him out. He from Atlanta.
Okay.
Me and K Michelle was just talking about doing a song. Me and Ray Shrimmer about to work on a song.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have someone keeping your life straight for you?
I need it. Like, I've been looking for an assistant because my I have an assistant, but she just got pregnant.
Oh.
And she her baby dropping next week, so I know she just not finna have time for me like I need. But yes, I need somebody to. I definitely do, girl. I try to get all the little to-do list apps.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stuff, notes,
like and notes. Calendars.
That's just another thing to keep track of.
It is though, because then I forget to check my to-do list.
Yeah,
but
I need a calendar to look at my calendar.
Yeah, I just need somebody to not be annoying and just remind me of everything. It just got to be like my friend or something that could just, like, Dre's, don't forget you got to. Yeah.
Exactly. So now that you're in L.A., you trying to act at all?
Nah.
You're not ready to cross over?
Nah. They had me try out for Empire. They wanted me to be on Empire, but, you know, Frida ended up getting that spot. So I know her too. Her name Breezy. I rock with her the long way.
Yeah.
So I'm happy for her. I'm glad she got that. I couldn't get it because I'm signed to a label. So I don't even know how the acting stuff work.
Yeah.
With the label being involved, because the Chirac movie, I was supposed to be in that too. But I'm glad I wasn't.
Yeah.
But yeah. That movie was whack.
Yeah. So how is label life? I imagine it's amazing and it also adds new complications you have to figure out.
Yeah, you know, just you definitely got to catch on, you know what I'm saying? Catch on before it's too late, you know, because I feel like everybody might come in a situation blind, but it's just how long you stay blind is how long you're going to get effed over, because you're going to get effed over.
Yeah.
If you, unless you came in the business knowing about lawyers, knowing about paperwork, knowing how this go, you're going to get effed over in some type of way, because these people been in the industry for years. And they're not even necessarily just the label. You know, not even, it might not even be the label, like, because my label, I don't really have problems with my label, but just other people, you know what I'm saying, in the industry, that's just trying to finesse you and sell you dreams and you know what I'm saying? That the paperwork be, man, just get your lawyer.
It sounds like you're someone who really trusts their gut, though, and you're not afraid to get out of something if it doesn't feel right.
Yeah,
which
but
is great.
That's the thing. When you get in paperwork, it ain't no get out
right.
of it. You're in there.
You need to trust. You need to trust the people around you someone close to you, like you said, like to read that for you and explain it. And
it's not no trust your gut. Don't trust your gut. Trust your lawyer. Right. When it comes to paperwork, do not trust your gut. When it comes to friendships, trust your gut.
Yeah.
But when it comes to this paperwork, no. Everything is legal and everything is black and white. They don't care about how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care about, but I thought he was my friend. No, he not. And you just signed your life away. So,
yeah.
How's it been touring?
It's cool. It's real tiring. I only been on one tour.
I was going to say, you sound tired saying it's cool.
Yeah, I only been on one tour, but it feel like we on tour still. It's just, you know.
Who was that with?
Tory Lanez and ASAP Ferg.
Cool.
Yeah, that was fun.
Do you like playing live? Is that like of recording, writing? You know, performing, where does performing fall in your favorite part of this?
I like performing. I like performing. But
say it one more time, we'll believe you.
I like performing for real. Like, it's not even that. It's just the stuff that it's not like I could just, like, I hate waiting. Like, I hate.
It's a lot of.
I hate the process waiting up until the performance, you know? And then I hate. Everything is just long, like even flying now. I used to love flying. I hate flying now. Mm-hmm. Like I take a road trip in a heartbeat over flying.
You just want to get where you're going.
Yeah,
because
it's like, you know, sometimes you got to take two flights in a day. It's a 2 hour, probably you got to get there 2 hours early. So if my flight at 5, the first flight in the morning, I got to be up at 4, get there about 5, get, you know, wait at 2 hours.
Entire day. Yeah,
you be tired. Yeah. You can't let your seat back. Then you get off the plane, got to go straight to the makeup artist, put your clothes on, hit the stage. It take all the fun out of it.
Right, like, hit the stage for, what, an
like,
hour?
Yeah,
right.
Now I'm tired before I get on the stage.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Totally.
But
when you're on stage, feels
it's
great.
Like it goes away for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you get off. And you gotta get back on in the car, and go to the, you know, and wake up in 3 hours.
Yeah.
So
it's a good life.
Yeah, I don't know. I was tempted to say, well, the more successful you become, the easier that gets. But I don't even know if that's true. Traveling's tiring for everybody.
Yeah,
might be a little more pampering on the way, but maybe not. But
it's like every problem, every level I go through is different problem. Like the stuff that I used to worry about ain't even on my mind no more. Like it used to be money problems. Now I'm not even worried. Now it's just stress.
Right.
Like don't stress me out, you know?
Yeah.
But do you have time for any romance?
No, not really.
Yeah. You're all over the place.
Yep.
Yeah, you gotta stay in one place for a few days.
Kinda.
To make that happen. Nah. Well, or it depends what kind of romance you're talking about.
Yep. You start setting up them dick appointments.
Exactly.
Can't miss
it. It's another thing in the calendar. Keep track of.
For real. Like, and if you miss it.
Or no, you just Tinder from city to city, you know.
Oh, Tinder. Or no, she could probably get on one of those celebrity
dating Raya,
apps.
Yeah.
No, definitely. I'm not Tindering nothing. I don't even care that much. They'll find me
too
eventually.
Much effort, too little return.
They'll get up with me.
I have a question for you. You know how, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, this like 7 favorite movies trend is happening. People are listing their 7 favorite movies. So Billboard is trying to start a 7 favorite songs trend.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you to name 7 of your favorite songs off the top of your head? I know that it's really so annoying.
It's gonna be hard.
But I feel like you're good thinking off the top of your head.
No, I'm not. Like, this is the worst part of the interview.
Did you just shut down?
No, but I'm going to try it, but I just always get real quiet on this part, and I don't be wanting to, like...
We're not going
to
leave you in silence. We can talk amongst ourselves while you think about it.
Okay.
And you're not beholden
to it. I'm instantly thinking
it.
Of some Kanye stuff. Some okay, old life. Kanye. Workout plan.
This is really...
Yeah.
Nice.
Workout plan. Okay.
Workout plan. Yeah. Just... Champion. Do you realize?
I was just re-listening to that yesterday. Yeah. That album. It's such a good album.
All Kanye. What's the? Dang. What's that song? He was talking some real stuff.
Yeah, early Kanye's the best. All Falls Down.
All Falls Down. Yep.
Yep.
Right, everything is. Is it everything is everything or nothing?
That's
even
a Lauryn Hill song.
No, it ain't that. Mm. It's something like that though. It is what it is, or something like that. He was just talking some real stuff on it. Roses went crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, how many do we count that as?
Look,
that was like
four,
right there.
Kanye.
That was
four.
That was non Kanye.
We gotta put Wayne.
Uh huh.
Amelie.
Okay.
Real Rap. Y'all probably never heard that. That's one of my favorites. Threepeat.
Give us one more.
Favorite. Oh. Miss Carter or Comfortable. Get to Comfortable. Okay. Yeah, to the Boom. Left, to the left. If you want to leave, be my guest, you can step.
Yeah, it's easy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
There, you nailed it.
Nice.
That was
only
favor.
Two artists. But
put that into a tweet.
Yeah.
Tweet it at Billboard. Be
it's
so
way
happy.
More music. I just got to go down the lane. I'm so
it's
bad.
It's so hard. Man. No,
it's insane. No, if you ask me my favorite color, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't answer.
I know my
I don't
favorite
know one color.
Color.
Oh, okay, what's your favorite color?
Pink.
Oh, there you go.
I like black too. But it's getting played out.
Black.
Everybody overdid
Maybe
it.
Maybe pink is the new black.
Mm-hmm.
They be trying to overdo that too.
The new, like something is the new something.
Nowadays, you gotta have like green and yellow and orange to not be.
You know, not a lot of people can pull off orange.
As they say, my best friend.
I don't think so.
I agree.
Okay.
Definitely.
I thought you gave me a face. That's a strong stance against orange you just
I only have one association with wearing orange.
Who's that? Because
of the show.
Yeah.
What?
You got orange
in the back.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, so this is your last night in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to chill, take it easy.
Probably at the stool.
Yeah.
The studio.
That sounds like work.
It is.
Okay.
But I already promised somebody, so I'm just like...
But does that like...
I got to come through.
Is that where you feel relaxed? Like you like almost wouldn't feel like you're having a relaxing evening unless you're sort of being productive?
Or like that is chilling
That
for
problem.
You?
It just depends on the vibe.
Or can you chill?
Yeah.
Like if I could just go to the studio by myself, that's relaxing.
Okay.
What do you like to do if it's not making music?
do you like to
go to movies?
I live in LA.
I actually do like going in the mountains and stuff.
Yeah. Do Runyon in that like, whole scene?
I don't like working out, but I like had make me look when it's done. So like I used to do it and feel good about myself when I was done, but hate myself while I was doing it. So that was cool. I had got into working out when I got to LA. I like to smoke.
Yeah.
And really I be plotting, like I feel like it's never nothing that I can't be doing.
Right.
You know, even like with the music out right now, like I feel like we got so much momentum that I gotta keep going. Like, cause what I hated about what I did with Chirac is once it blew up so much that I felt like I needed to fall off the scene for a little bit and go work on a project and get my project together and get it perfect to put out before these people start, you know what I'm saying? When really, they just wanted more. Like, right. Like they wanted to keep hearing more, you know? And I could have kept going and kept riding off that Chirac wave, but I let it die down. So then when I got signed, I kind of had to reintroduce myself. Like, so that's why, you know, Body, for a lot of people that didn't know Chirac, that was their first time hearing me. They didn't even know I was a rapper. They think I'm a singer. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I had to reinvent myself and just come back. So now that I got this momentum again, that's why we put the album out. We didn't rush it. It still was like some good solid tracks on it that we knew was going to go. We just didn't finish it completely going out hard like I wanted to. We just had to put a couple tracks on there just to fill it in and put it out.
Yeah.
You know, and now I feel like I could be working on my next project because I know how long that process takes just to be ahead of the game. You know, I want to be like two projects in, putting out, just having everything on the time schedule, just, you know, so I can work on other stuff too, like, and focus on my traveling and focus on, you know, others, maybe some merch and maybe acting and stuff like that.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. All right, well, the new album is out.
Mm-hmm. Super sick.
No hard feelings.
No hard feelings.
So good.
Is that your message to the world? No hard feelings?
Yeah, no it's all hard good. Feelings. If somebody got you in your feelings, then you on the wrong wave.
I like that.
No?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all in. No hard feelings in business or nothing.
Cool. That's great. All right, Dreezy, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Soul Sisters.
Yeah.
I just want to take away the pressure. I knew you were special when I met you. Hate the way you battle your confessions. I wait for you, I gotta know, I gotta know. Who you? Who you?
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.